Many companies still do performance appraisals. Many have ditched them. If you're thinking about it and thinking or thinking about improving yours, listen up. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this topic or anything else related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. Today, my guest is Sue Ingram. Sue is someone who takes an interest in many things. However, she's particularly interested in what makes a great workplace great and what attracts great people to that workplace. She trains and coaches managers on how to be the managers they want to be and also how to create the teams that they would have wanted to be on. Hi, Sue. How are you?
Hi. Hello. I'm really well.
Nice to have you on. So we are going to talk about performance appraisals. I've been doing this channel for quite a long time now and haven't covered it yet. So I'm just going to start right at the hard question, I guess. Performance appraisals have a terrible reputation. Why?
Yeah, because it's a process and it doesn't really address the real key issue, which is there an honest conversation taking place between the manager and the employee? A lot of people have a performance appraisal because they feel that they should have a performance appraisal. And it's a neat way of saying, hey, at least once a year, our managers are having a conversation with their staff about where do they want to go in the future? And all, you know, and giving them feedback about how to improve and all that kind of thing. But in actual fact, most people hate it because it takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really sure of the benefit. In actual fact, some people feel that there isn't a benefit to having a performance appraisal meeting. It's not a positive experience for many. Some managers are very nervous about holding it, not sure what to say or how to say it. And it just doesn't, it's not a joyous experience.
Yes, it's not a joyous experience. I'd go as far as saying it's, you know, one of the least joyous experiences for many people. But many of my clients, because I'm a consultant, many of my clients still do them. They still want them. Why are they so important?
Well, you've got to think about why do you want to have a performance appraisal process within your organization? And there are some benefits. It is a great way of taking a snapshot of where the people might be in 1 month of the year. And out of this, you can get training needs. You know, you can identify what people want. You can start thinking about where we need to be. You can at least be certain that there is a formal record of someone's performance at least once a year that's on the record. And that can be extremely useful for performance management issues and if you need to improve someone's performance. Some people use it as a method of assigning pay increases and bonuses.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, there is a judgment. There is an appraisal that takes place about why I'm giving Jane this money and not giving Jeremy this money. So the performance appraisal process allows that to be transparent and allows that to the manager to explain why Jane is getting this money and why Jeremy isn't. So there's lots of good reasons why, but the downsides of a performance appraisal is that it's very time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
If your manager is managing 10 people, the meeting itself will take at least an hour, possibly a little bit more. The prep for it should take at least an hour and a half. The note-taking, the admin, the chasing of it, the writing of the report and all that going to take another hour after it. So we're already talking 3.5 hours per employee and you've got 10 people. So it's very time-consuming to get 10 written-up performance appraisal reports. The other drawback with having it once a year or twice a year or even twice a year is that most times what happens is that the performance appraisal is about what is in the memory of the manager, which is usually about 4 to 6 weeks I don't know about you, but I've worked for a team where performance appraisals are coming up in June, and suddenly in come April, May, everyone's being a little bit more helpful. Why wouldn't they? So again, you're thinking about a busy manager who's got a lot on their plate, and they just, they're not actually giving this thought, this process much thought. So they just think about Jenny and go, oh, she's been really helpful to me, because she has been for the last 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. But not remembering the previous 40 weeks.
Performance appraisals, they're not always linked to compensation.
Yeah.
But many times they are. What do you think about linking a performance appraisal to compensation?
I think you cannot help but do it. Let's not pretend that the world is a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
There is a judgment around performance, and there is a judgment around how much of an increase to give people. Mm-hmm. Let's make it honest, transparent, real, and supportive. The problem comes when we try and hide it up, when we try and hide it, when we try and pretend that there isn't a judgment that's linked to a performance appraisal score, and there isn't a judgment that's linked to a pay increase. Because there is judgment in this.
Mm-hmm.
Our issue as managers and HR staff is to ensure that judgment is honest, fair, and consistent across the organization, and that we're measuring the right things. Now, that's key, because the first thing about performance appraisal is, what are you choosing to measure? What are you choosing to assess people on? Because the old story of what gets measured gets done is very true. So it becomes very important about what are you choosing to measure.
So much in there. So much that could go wrong.
Let's talk about real instances. Okay, sales team, right? You get rewarded by bringing in a certain amount of sales each month. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you told me, if I make this money, I get some money back. That you could think, oh, that's easy. That's brilliant. We've got all these sales in. But have you got a relationship with the customer? Because they may have been so bullish, or even stretching the truth a bit about, in order to get the sale in that month, they've promised what the customer is never going to receive. So that customer's not going to buy from you again. That customer is now going to badmouth you to everybody else. And you're not going to get a repeat order.
Mm-hmm. It goes to that point of it's not just what you do, it's also how you do it.
Exactly. So you start switching your bonus scheme to, we will pay a percentage for new sales, we will pay a higher percentage for repeat sales. Oh, now I'm being motivated to build a relationship with a customer where they think I'm wonderful, they'll never dream of going to another person ever again, and I get lots of repeat sales. And then, of course, you can start talking about the identity of your company, who you want to be known for, and what does that mean in terms of performance appraisal? Let me think of an example. A lot of people say, hey, in our values, for example, we've got respect. We are respectful. We are respectful of our customers. We're respectful of each other. And they put that thing, respect, in there because they feel that showing respect and behaving in a respectful way will make the company successful. Have you got respect being assessed in your performance appraisal?
It almost feels like this process, more than other processes in HR, it's critical to design the process well and train well.
It's massive. It doesn't need to be complex. Don't make it a big thing, but what you are appraising and how you appraise it is a massive cultural statement about your organization. Yeah, and who you want to be and what you think would make your organization successful.
Mm-hmm.
You then have got a massive skill set to train your managers in how to give feedback, not just negative, but also positive. Because most managers don't give enough positive feedback. And success breeds success. And you want your staff to feel proud of what they're doing. You want them to be recognized of their achievements so that they go out and do more achievement. And the interesting thing is that people aren't motivated by money. I mean, we've talked about performance appraisal being linked to pay, which I agree about, but people aren't motivated by money. They're far more highly motivated by validation from their manager and their peers. When their manager and their peers go, well done, congratulations, that was a great piece of work, they walk away with a big smile on their face. And it doesn't cost the company anything at all.
You know, it's funny you talk about that because I've done episodes on rewards and recognition, particularly recognition. And the advantages are enormous. The cost is insignificant.
Nothing.
Aside from effort. And yep. Yet, so few people actually do a good job of this.
It's perfectly natural. We naturally, as human beings, focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. There's been studies about it. Yeah. And the whole idea is that our survival depended upon fixing something as opposed to celebrating something.
And yes. Okay.
So we, you know, and it's been proven time and time again. People are prompted to take action if they go to a restaurant and have a bad meal. They're not prompted to take action when they go to a restaurant and have a really exceptional meal. But equally, conversely, as you say, research, again and again and again has proven that successful people and successful organizations and successful managers give more positive feedback than negative feedback. So we have got an issue here where our human condition is not to really notice what's going well and over-notice what's going wrong. Yet, really successful organizations and successful marriages, one of the key things about them is that they really notice what's going right. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be a conscious action every day and week that we take to notice what's going right, which is why I said to this guy, why don't you start your meetings with asking each department head who's done something really good in their team?
I want to talk a little bit about implementing a performance appraisal system. What are the steps you would go through in doing that in an organization?
I would first of all ask, what is it that I want to gain out of a performance appraisal system that I can't gain by other sources? What's the information I want to gain from holding a performance appraisal system?
Mm.
What am I wanting to gain from it? Now, I want to make sure that my staff, my managers, speak to their staff at least once a year formally about career objectives. Okay, cool. Okay. Is that something that it's worth the time of my managers doing that? Or is there another way of doing it? Is there another way of capturing it? Is there another way, a better way maybe, of getting it? And I would also think very creatively. I'd think, hey, if that's my outcome, if I want career objections, if I want career aspirations, do I want my manager to instigate that conversation or do I want my staff member to instigate that conversation? Would it be more powerful if my staff member instigated that conversation? If my staff member, at any point, there was a process that they could go, hey, guys, I want to talk my career. Would that work? Would that not work? I would do a massive amount of thinking about what I want out of it. And is a traditional piece of paper form with a grading system and all that kind of thing going to hit my objective, what I want out of it?
Okay, so that's step one. Step one is the... And so many other things. Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say you do decide how to do. Yeah, yeah. And then what?
Then I would include managers in the design of the form. The reason that is, I'd do anything I could to break the normal routine of a performance appraisal system is laid on managers and staff. From above, from on high, and we don't like it. Oh, don't worry about it. We're just going to fill this form in. I want to break the old narrative that they may have about performance appraisals. So I will probably get some managers and get some staff to talk about the design of it. I would also talk about, I'd also do really think about How do I train my managers to have the truthful conversation in the meeting?
Yes.
The worst thing of all, is, because I have managers, I support managers in so-called difficult conversations. I don't believe they're difficult. As you say, that's another conversation. But, and I say, and everyone knows, oh, I've inherited this member of staff. They've been in the company for ages. Everyone knows they're difficult. I just talk to other managers. They go, oh, them. And I go, okay, cool. So, I need to take action with them. They're taking up a salary. They're taking up, we're just not getting a return from them. And actually, they're disrupting other people. We need to take action with them. And then I'll say, okay, cool. And they said, but there's a problem. None of the comments have been recorded in any previous performance appraisal with that individual. And so this person can now go, this new manager that's come in is now asking me to actually deliver what I'm being paid to do. It's a vendetta. They're bullying me. There's a personality clash here. Because look at all my previous performance appraisals. They've never mentioned any problem. And I'm just going to swear. But yeah, basically, you are in a very tough place. Because
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, exactly. You can imagine what I was going to say. Because you are. You are absolutely in that tough place where, oh, heck, we have got this person who's sitting there, sweet as a nut, with life being just the way they want it, just creating havoc. Yet we can do nothing because the formalized performance appraisal reviews have not been honest.
Yeah, okay.
I fudged it and walked over it. And I hear this so often because there isn't honesty in the feedback.
It's like an HR cliche that this happens. So an important part is training managers to deliver.
The biggest fear is that they will get tears, they will get an argument, they will get aggressive response back, the person won't hear them, and that it's going to be a highly emotional meeting. And I can understand that because these negative feedback conversations are called difficult conversations, which I, from a marketing standpoint, is a complete disaster. Because why would you want to do a difficult conversation?
It's all true. What should we call them?
Generous.
Generous?
Generous. They're generous conversations. Because think on it. To leave someone failing, and they will know that they're failing, even if it's not consciously, they will know subliminally that they're not in the in crowd. They're not in. Yeah. To leave someone failing, and for them to not know why is the unkindest thing that anyone can do. Now, when you go in with a generous attitude, and this is. The difficult conversation. You go in wanting them to succeed. You go in, I'm here to help you enjoy your work and succeed at your work, because that's the right every person in my team. Every person in my team is going to enjoy their work and succeed at their work. I am here to help you do that. And I have got some information that I feel you don't know, but would help you to achieve that, then that's a generous conversation.
I love that. And that one's going in the bank for sure.
And it's funny because when you go into it with that generosity as your whole purpose, the conversation becomes so much easier. You still may get tears and upset.
Yeah.
But you can go, look, it's okay, it's okay, look, it's okay. We can fix this. Don't worry, we'll fix it.
It sounds a lot like radical candor, too.
Yes, of course. It absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So ultimately, in implementing and managing performance appraisal process, can you just summarize what is critical for success?
Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. Do it because you have identified what your organization needs out of some form of performance appraisal process at this moment in time. Keep it fresh. Change it as you need to do it. Train your managers in feedback, because be it in a formalized performance appraisal, or be it in the corridor, or be it in a weekly meeting, your managers need to give feedback constantly about what's going well. Thank you, I want more of this, and what's not going so well. We are stopping that right now. So you need to empower your managers. Oh, one last thing. If you do have a performance feedback, management performance feedback process, can you on your managers put one of the criteria, giving feedback to your staff?
Oh, right. That's an important one.
Because what gets measured gets done.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't assessing your managers on giving feedback to their staff and their skill set at giving feedback to their staff, then you're kind of defeating the whole thing all around. And I very, very rarely see that as an item on a performance appraisal form for managers.
Yeah, no, it's true. If someone wants to go down this journey, do you suggest? What resources do you suggest?
Well, I've written a book, Farwell, How to Fire Staff So They Say Thank You. It is a book that is all about how to have the toughest type of conversation, but in a positive way, so people say thank you at the end of it, even though you fired them, which sounds like an oxymoron, but I've delivered it, and my clients have delivered it, so read the book. You can link in with me at LinkedIn, Sue Ingram, mm-hmm. At any time, or you can send me a DM, or you can send me an email at sue@conversewell.com.
Okay. I will put all those links in the show notes. Well, thanks, Sue. That piece about generosity that I am using 100%. However, we've reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there. We'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.